By the way, if competing presentations. let me just quickly see. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. We come to present to our biosecurity measures in St. Kitts and Nevis. So it's going to be a short presentation, and feel free to ask any questions after the presentation. So the biosecurity measures in St. Kitts is controlled by two sets of officers. We have a set of officers in Nevis and a set of officers in St. Kitts for both plant and animal health. If you look at the chart to your left with the cow, how we approach our biosecurity systems. First, we detect the problem, we respond to it, we try to understand and prevent it. We have a flowchart here that helps us to build capacity in the biosecurity measures. We have early warning alerts where we get it from WTO SPS notifications. These notifications let us know what type of pests are out there, both regionally and internationally. We have our regulated quarantine pests that we don't want into the country. We have pest risk analysis where we use different tools such as CABI to predict the risk of certain pests into the islands. We have diagnostic activities such as uploading pictures to the University of the West Indies and the University of Florida, and they give diagnostics on pests that we are unable to identify. And they give us also sampling procedures where we could send off and they would inspect it and tell us what we have on the island as a third party. We have phytosanitary measures. These are done by import permits, phyto and health certificates. Also, we do post inspections and surveillance. Information and communication, we work along closely with our stakeholders such as customs and port authorities. Communication, we try our best to spread the word about different pests and diseases to the community and encourage them to report anything that they're not familiar about, because many of the times we are not the first ones out on the site. Here is a importing application process. Anything that is coming imported into the country needs an import permit. Import permits are inexpensive because $5, they're valid for 1 month. We have importing permit issues where we try to let the exporting country meet our SPS standards. One standard is no pest and disease, and they must be free from soil and whatever the PRA predicts. We have phytosanitary certificate. All exporting countries must have a phytosanitary certificate saying that a competent authority has inspected it. Post inspections, it is good to trust, but the post inspections is something that we verify at both points of entries, whether it's air support and postal. Here's a sample of our import permits. We have the client's name and address, the import number, plant species, for example, food, fresh produce, type of materials would be fruits and vegetables, quantity, whether it's a 20-foot or 40-foot container, location, where it will be grown, point of entry, example, seaport, special conditions, it must be free from pest and disease, place of issue, agriculture, office, and the name of the signature of the officer. Only import permits are only issued by the quarantine officer. We also provide as an enforcement with the pesticide board. So it's not any pesticide we can just import to the country. So clients must, before they import, must come to us telling the trade name of the product, the active ingredient of the product along with the percentage, what type of insect pesticide it is, the grouping, and how much they want to bring in. And once they match with the database of the pesticide board, they can bring it in. And if it's not on the list in the database, they have to do a registration. I bring you over to my colleague, Mrs. Alfred, where she'll explain the animal health section.
Good morning, everyone. Please allow me to give you a view of the structure of our veterinary staff. We have one veterinary officer. We have one senior animal health assistant, four animal health assistants, one lab tech. We have three trainees and five field technicians. These technicians are used to restrain animals when needed. Okay, the veterinary division for our invasive species, we look at the tropical bone tick. The tropical bone tick is one of a very hard, uncontrollable species of space. The tropical bone tick came to the Caribbean from West Africa, and it came through Guadeloupe and Antigua in the 1800s. During the 1970 and early 1980, the tropical bone tick spread widely throughout the Caribbean. In 1977 to 1978, the tropical bone tick found itself in St. Kitts and Nevis. Because of the tropical bone tick on the island, we have a disease that is called dermatophilosis. Dermatophilosis is a skin condition, a bacterial skin infection, which causes a significant loss of our livestock, especially the cattle. We have some losses in sheep and goats, but mainly the cattle are affected by the dermatophilosis, sorry. Because of that, the department or the division makes sure that we issue import permits, and these permits are issued for all animals, cattle, sheep, goat, poultry, so that we can able to, you know, we can able to, cattle, sheep, and poultry, so that we can able to get a better count of what is going on the island.
All right, another SPS agreement we do is phytosanitary certificate. This is just a certificate saying that it meets the needs of the importing country and it's free from pest and disease. First, the clients must come to the Department of Agriculture and bring all the samples, and they will be inspected. Samples must be washed and free from soil and pest and disease, and must meet the treatment requirements, whether the country needs a pesticide spray or a dip, etc. This is our example of our phytosanitary certificate. You have the name and address of the exporter, the amount of produce, distinguish mark, whether the client is carrying the goods or he is carrying the goods to a specific client, origins, where it is grown, means of conveyance, whether it's air or seaport or postal. You have point of entry, the name, the quantity of the produce, and the signature of the Department of Agriculture. We have a stamp and seal, and this seal should not be broken once inspection is done.
We also have a veterinary health certificate, and this health certificate is to certify that the animals are that are coming into the island is healthy enough. We do that with a description of the animal, the marking of the animal, and to certify the dates of when it is issued. This can only be done by the veterinary officer.
As I said before, trust, however, we verify. So inspection is done on the spot check at any points of entry. Here we have an inspection of a live plant consignment on the top. It's where the point of entry at the seaport. We open out the container, making sure that it's no pest and disease is there. Then we inspect their documentation, and then they head. Then we do a more thorough inspection at the inspection site. So here we have the clients removing the consignments. The officer is inspecting the consignment for any pest and disease. We have officers inspecting cut flowers at the airport. We have officers inspecting wood materials for exportation. We also, once the inspections are done, we have an inspection form that records the client's information, whether they have the right documentation, whether they have free from pest and disease, and they meet the needs. And based on their performance, we're able to do work with them, whether to improve on, or if they're delinquent, we can give charges to them if they're delinquent.
Our animal inspection is being done every day. We make sure that all small and large ruminants are free from ticks and disease. We ensure the animals entering the islands are in good and healthy condition. Here is a little video of one of the officers in the field doing a tick inspection on a farm. We are making sure that we check the hoof of the animals, the eyes, the nose, the genital areas between the shoulders and so on, because the ticks like to hide themselves right there. So the officers make sure that they check thoroughly.
All right, so we have these are some of the invasive species found in Cinquitts and Nevis. Invasive species affect the island both directly and indirectly. We have direct effects, such as the sweet potato weevil does damage to the sweet potato, causing it to be not productive, causing farmers' yields to reduce, thus losing money. We have the fire ants. Now we are seeing fire ants doing damage to electrical poles, electrical wires, and causing short circuits. We have the pink mealybug. We have to do a lot of pesticide sprays, and sometimes the backyards and farmers, they treat for the side effect, which is the sooty mold, but the pest itself, they don't really treat, and that comes a problem. And we have indirect effects of invasive species. We have the corn snake. The corn snake eats our indigenous birds' eggs, and we just seen the population of our birds just dwindling slowly but surely. And of course, we have the fruit flies that always need a constant monitoring, and it is expensive to upkeep. So these are the surveillances that are done daily, monthly, and seasonally. We have fruit fly surveillance that is done every 2 weeks. Tomato leaf miner is done, daily. Mango seed weevil is done seasonally. Tropical bunting is done daily. So we just give you a brief process of our fruit fly surveillance. First, we have our materials. We have the traps. We have the tarsola yeast, and we put in water in the tarsola yeast as a bait. We set the traps in a host plant, which is a soft body fruit, such as mangoes or guavas, carambolas, etc. Then after 2 weeks, the officers take them down, put them in a bottle, and we have officers doing data collection and GPS mapping. We then enter the lab, separate the flies, look for them under a microscope, and determine whether it's a male or female, upload it in the CPHD food fly database, and this database tracks the food flies and give us different information. Also, we also collect suspected foods that deemed to be infested, and we grow them out and see if any food fly emerges from that food. And these are some of the treatment. We use insecticidal sprays with using a mist blower, such as Caprid protector, and sometimes we do mass trapping.
This is a schedule of our surveillance for the tropical bunting. Every day, officers, we divided into two teams that cover the island on a daily basis. And we go to every village in every parish, and we make sure that we check for the tropical bunting. Here again, our officer, they're making sure that this animal is free from tick. And if we do find any of the tick, especially the female, because if she falls on the ground, she's likely to lay thousands of eggs. So what we do once the tick, the female is engorged, we remove it and put it into a container with alcohol, and we take it to the office where we will discard. The males is left on the animal, and we record every tick. If we go on the farm and there is five males, one female, one engorged, we make sure we record it and keep it as our record. Okay, the first image is showing you that one of our officer is treating the cattle with ethical, a chemical that is being used to help to prevent the spread of the tick. This chemical is used and it works in the systemically. So it's sprayed along the back from the head to the tail of the cow. The other image showed that this animal there has dermatophilosis. And so the officers are doing the taping so that they can have the treatment done. In this case, we use any LA antibiotic. We're using, right now we are using Annamycin that is very effective against dermatophilosis. This is the animal, the third image for dermatophilosis. And the last image is showing a success story coming out from the treatment of dermatophilosis. So not all the time the animals died. Once we catch them very early, we are able to save their lives.
So as mentioned before, we use the CABI database and the PRA tool. Also, we use Google in forms of an impromptu quick PRA. No horizon tool is done as yet. Currently, we are at the PRA training course where we will, after this course, we'll try to establish a federal PRA team that will boost PRA procedures. Prohibited goods. So we have prohibited goods such as mango from all countries for different types of fruit flies. We have citrus from all different countries from because of chistesia. We have mango planting materials from all countries due to TR4. And these are some of the prohibited palm trees that are not supposed to be brought in. We have coconut, we have Bismarck and Christmas palm, just to name a few. Public awareness is done to sensitize the general public on what is going on in the plant and animal health.
We use our posters. We have them placed at the fair and seaport. We also put them at supermarkets so as people pass by, they can see the importance and the seriousness of these pests and diseases. We also have our Agriculture Open Day, which we do every year in March. Areas where we display the different species of pests and diseases, so people from the public who will come by will be able to have an idea of what we have on the island. We also do our talk show, which is called On the Farm, and that is being aired on our airways and our television as well. We also have our workshop, and there where we, you know, bring our farmers in and to teach them the seriousness of the pest and disease if necessary.
Yes, so we meet regularly with our stakeholders such as Customs, Department of Agriculture Extension Team, Port of Authorities to sensitize them on the developments of quarantine procedures so that they could be abreast and work along with us smoothly. We try to target the younger children in the schools by having trade shows to encourage them to join the team because they are our future. We also have joined with the USDA department with Don't Pack a Pest system. This is a signage system. Here is the signage for Mavis telling the general public, do not pack these types of things in your luggage or cargo because the luggage system is a very, very high risk system. So we have them in digital form and we have them in the physical form. So this is our presentation on biosecurity in St. Kitts and Nevis. I thank you for listening. Any questions, comments?
The male is there because he would not grow that fast, and he don't grow at all. He remained that small. The female is likely to lay the eggs. We treat with the ethical and that will work in the system of the animal, and that will take care of the smaller ones.
Yes.
Okay, hold on, then bring that up now.
Right.
Yeah, this is in report form.
Okay. So you said you inspected and then they are penalized based on the performance.
Well, here's our rationale. Sometimes we deal with high profile clients, and before we do things upheartedly, we have to have some sort of documentation saying we're dealing with ABC Hotel, and we notice ABC Hotel brings in a consignment of live plants. The documents say they don't have any phytosanitary certificate, no import permit is done, and then we find some sort of reptiles and what's not, and so on. So this documentation have to be signed by us and by them. And when we do, we try to see if we could think. But in most cases, we try to be reasonable and think with people. But they do get consignments turned back, because some people, they have certain ministers and so in their phone, and they could call and things would change. You penalize the importers.
But it's not captured under your
law. Yes, that captured under our law. Well, the penalty is either $15,000 in fines, or the consignment is re-exported. Most of the time people do the re-exporting process many of the times. Yeah, but for me, in my tenure, I never really put the price to it, but most of it, all the time, is just re-export. But if they're continually re-offending, I think that is when we get into those matters.
What role does customs
play? Customs?
Because if they were consigned to your country, you know, like classified as stuff.
Yes.
So customs.
Yeah, so
sometimes the customs law.
Yeah, the customs law doesn't takes place, because when we're doing our inspection, a customs officer always be present. Because sometimes they have mixed materials. When it's mixed materials, it's like they have equipment, mulch, and so on, and then with customs coming to play. Yeah. So we try to work along in the stakeholders, because sometimes these guys are a bit smart, and if it's a tire consignment, you see they're chucking some plants and what's that and so on. The customs officer would know what's going on and say, all right, this is a banned product, this is XYZ, let me call quarantine and see how we can sort things out. And they do call, because we do these on a quarterly basis, and all forms of customs here support, and they're able to get things, and it's been working, but it's a lot of work.
In Dominica case, once you submit the declaration,
mm-hmm.
a shipper is
yes,
and you find any other thing other than what is at the declaration,
yeah,
consignment, it's put in a smuggle,
yeah,
customs gets
it. Okay.
Yeah. The fines and the penalties on the customs is a lot more effective. That importer can actually be suspended.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So maybe just a little bit of efforts. Maybe you could look at the smuggling schedule on the customs law.
Yes.
Because sometimes it would provide more, what do you call that?
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I think I would have to do that and discuss with my counterpart in St. Kitts, because sometimes when we do, they try to test us whether St. Kitts not doing this. Let me go over to Nevis. So we got to try to, for us, we try to be on the same page.
Question. Good presentation, Michael Zias from Barbados.
I just
wanted to ask yourself and my other colleagues that are there, what about equipment or used cars coming in or whatever? Do you also check those, and have you ever come across any pests, probably in tires or on the car rims or whatever, the trucks that come over? That's just a question I would like to ask.
All right. To tell you the truth, Michael, we do that, but our resource personnel is very, very low. So we host workshops with the customs and port authorities, training them on the simple inspection things. For, as you said, soil, any small little pests and disease that they see in the cars, they're able to give us a call and we do further inspections. And in high seasons, like Christmas time and so, where there's a high importation of cars, we do work along with the customs with them. But that's a thing that I would really like to be done on a regular, but due to personal human resources is very low. So it's just done on a call basis.
Yes. To put the question out to Marcus, I think it was for about checking for vehicles or passing them. Someone found anything inside the vehicle.
And in St. Kitts Nevis, we find various types of things. We found iguanas in other consignments, I think is for tiles. In tires, we found a raccoon that was a very scary time, and used cars mostly in the trucks, soil.
When you wash, that's the issue. I mean, I said it was another question, but we don't really have a specified area, but we do it at home. The runoff area is sort of not, there is a direct runoff. All we take it to the sea, but it's not a, like a free flow. So we can put that our KS expert that comes on. Concrete and then small things. in the handful system, we are trying to put in a habitat for the sea for one. We can leave the possibility to request the importance because when you ask for phytosanitary certificate, after the farming force to be the same way asked to be cleaned before. I think we don't want to public awareness of the stakeholders, but the thing with the communicators, we don't have it in the documentation. But has anyone ever refused entry during one of these?
Yes.
That was one of the strongest regulatory action between two agencies. We got actually three of us, three agencies, Bureau of Standards, the Port Health, and Electronic. So we periodically bought a ship for spring and they do it because. And we came in with what appeared to be mold on the soil. On the tires, and the tires on the marine ecosystem. So we combined our efforts along customs and didn't allow it to work. I think that is the easiest approach. Because once the vehicle lands on soil, it now becomes a lot more complicated. Most times, the ship comes, it spends an hour of loads and boats. So you have to wait till the next time to re-export with some definition of purpose. So the approach that we try to practice as much as possible is to board the ship before the offloading and do the physical inspections on it.
When we did the port biosecurity survey with the bodies, we got told that they had very different direct reports on the data support. Do you have direct reports?
Yes, we do. There are three ships which come in from Japan. One does a transshipment to Jamaica.
Because we were thinking of, we need to look at this. We were thinking instead of doing all the islands, we can just simply do Barbados, the survey Barbados in Jamaica to get a picture of what happens and of the risk.
I think it would be worthwhile to do the Jamaica port, Jamaica Lake, because I think most of the vehicles would land in Jamaica and then transship to the rest of the region.
Yeah, that's
but then you have, and you all have. No, I'm saying we have vessels coming directly, but there's one, which is I can't remember its name, that goes, that offloads in Jamaica and comes.
But the port authority in Antigua was the one that said. Get very little direct shipments to Antigua. General comes from Jamaica.
Never what for they seem to work. It's coming directly. It was the size of
the car carriers. Yeah. Well, we have some huge coming in too.
Yeah.
The smallest one is the one coming from Jamaica too.
The question is whether in these kind of, the complex system in place can we make domestic to what degree a pest risk analysis system can help us with this? What's striking me is when you do the intensive surveys on the pond tick. And this is a species which is, of course, already established and probably relatively widely spread on the island, but you can manage with your efforts to kind of keep population down. And
that is what we do in the We are not able to eradicate them, but we keep in the population. So that is why we do routine checks every day. Because you can send an animal out today in the morning, and by the time we get back the next morning, the tick you might get.
Yeah.
So that is why we do a daily check.
But then the PRA system won't help you that much with this, because it is already there. And it's more kind of targeted mostly on prevention. And of course, you say as well, you have the requirement, any imports of livestock need to be free of ticks. And that, of course, it's mostly important to prevent the import of another tick species, which you haven't got yet. If another bond tick would come in, it wouldn't change much because you have it already.
Yeah.
So it's always then the perspective of preventing anything which isn't there yet to come in.
But the other thing, there are some villages that do not have.
Okay, so you could use the PRA to develop strategies for containment.
Right. And so we make sure if one animal is moving from one parish to another, that animal is being detected and treated.
Are there any more questions at this stage?
Just a quick comment.
Question.
There's a question coming.
Question. Just wanted to know, I've been listening, and I wonder if with the vehicles coming like that, we don't write, you don't write an import permit for a vehicle, but wouldn't it be incumbent on who, or should we not send out to those guys or people who are importing? True customers or whatever, say, listen, if these things are coming in, these are some of the requirements as for the sanitary, people might laugh and say, what do I have to do with you? But I think it probably is incumbent on us to set up or send out some conditions for the import of these used vehicles coming into our countries. Something that was crossing my mind when I was hearing other speak. Because the same way that things come in and you're looking for pests, these things carry some serious, significant pests will be important to us. And be it from animals right up to diseases in some instances. So I think maybe something needs to be added on or we speak to customs, tell them when fellas are planning to import vehicles, these are some of the requirements, because it really should be the duty of the exporting country to make sure that these vehicles or whatever are clean before they come into our jurisdictions. I don't know what people have to say about that.
Yeah, I think that's the point I wanted to make, because in New Zealand, they have done the work and they have quantified the risk from used vehicles, and they have outright banned all used vehicles coming into New Zealand. And that is why it is an activity under this project for us to look at it. The pandemic has kind of affected that activity under the project, but we hope to do it before the end of the project to kind of at least give an indicative, how risky it is and what it is actually coming in as a sort of a document that can then be shared to influence the policy at a national or sub-regional level. I think that is the point, that we need to be sharing this information and sensitizing customs and the Ministry of Trade, etc., that some of these regulations are changed, that we consider these things, because sometimes they're just not aware.
Comment on this as well. Maybe answer my question. Well, our quality laws have been updated, and we found a loophole in that situation. So we had put a clause in our bill saying that all vehicles must be at least sanitized and clean. But however, it's been a while. The bill has been a while, and we still yet to see it approved. But once it's approved, then things will have to change, and then we'll try to increase sensitization
with the general public.
One question to you. You were saying with the system of fines or re-exportation as options. Do you have as well sometimes the options of destroying the
yes.
design if it is infected with some pests or diseases?
Yes, for instance, sometimes it might have one or two small items that come and we just, instead of just re-exporting, we destroy. But this mostly happened in coastal areas where we have seeds coming to the country. A lot of people order seeds off of Amazon. And when you take a look, they're either mislabeled or they don't have any label at all. So we have to destroy them. And also some people bring in mixture of seeds. For instance, just recently, a client brought in some a pollination mix of different types of seeds that attract bees and other beneficial insects. But when you take a look at the type of seeds there are, some of these seeds are very invasive. So we just had to confiscate and destroy. So those are instances where we destroy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Shall we move on to the next one?
Okay, I think I probably have to stop share screen at the moment.
I've stopped it.
Oh, you stopped it. All right. And then... This one is really important. Susie, how did you manage to have it, to get it full screen in the slide mode?
I didn't actually, but yeah, I think you can see press slide mode, so let's try that.
Can
you share your
screen? No. Nope. This one? This one?
No, you have to do that one actually.
Okay. All right. Everybody can see that. All right.
Good morning to all.
All yours.
So you have a brief country report on our activities in St. Lucia, both from an animal health and from a plant health perspective. Okay, country report comes. This is the beautiful Pitons, World Heritage Site. That said, let's move on to the meat of the matter. Oh, huh? Hey, Belle Helen. Organization of Biosecurity. The Ministry of Agriculture, with various divisions are responsible for the biosecurity activities of the island. So we have crop protection and quarantine. We have veterinary and livestock services. Forestry department has a limited, and the fisheries department has some limited functions in terms of CITES. also we have an organizational outlook where there were the previous government, there were a proposal which and it was well on the way, a project where we're seeking to amalgamate all the various agencies that's involved in border control and border security into one agency that will manage the border.
Just to intervene, because it looks like the people joining remotely don't see the switching on of the slides.
Sorry.
Okay.
Let's try something else.
Should I start again?
Okay.
So we have customs, immigration, marine and port police, plant quarantine, animal quarantine, and port health. So the idea was to merge all these components together into one single agency to take all the responsibilities of border protection. As to where this very advanced move is as currently, I don't know, because we had recently a change of government, so policies might change. Okay. Importation process, like many other territories, there is an application process through when one is desirous of importing any plant or animal or their products into the country. So you make your application, and then your application will be considered based on the risk involved in the importation of these commodities. So we've seen here that if there is a certain commodity that's regularly being imported, there would have been an established analysis, a risk analysis associated with it, and there will be a shorter time for approval to be granted. However, if there is a new commodity that you have an application to import, it will take a longer time for approval, since an analysis will have to be conducted to determine the outcome of the application. So we are grateful for the CABI compendium, which is a guide that we use to determine the approval of certain commodities. And as I said before, there's a risk analysis exists as to whether these are tangibles. We're not quite sure whether those data have been stored and then they're accessible for further use or not. But we know that certain commodities, there are specific risk analysis associated with them that has been done. So we have 7 ports of entry in the island. The two airports, George F. L. Charles and Iwanuro, the international airport down south. We also have the Kashmir Seaport, the Vifot Seaport, the Rodney Bay Marina, the Marigold Bay Marina, and the Sufre Bay. These are all official ports of entry into the island. But unfortunately, we know our status as an island. We have a lot of coves and bays and inlets where persons have access to enter unchecked and unregulated. So this is a headache, I think, that are shared by all islands, even the Caribbean region. And likewise, St. Lucia is no exception. The increased online shopping and the courier service establishment have become a real headache for us, but we're trying to get our hands on them, where a lot of persons import stuff through the internet, and then we have to beef up our game where, as far as monitoring and surveillance goes, through those courier services. Fortunately, customs is well on board with us, and then they will intervene and then call us in whenever items are discovered. Some animal diseases that is of note and interest to us. BSE, mad cow disease. We have rabies, avian influenza, foot and mouth disease, Newcastle, hog cholera, and African swine fever. All these diseases of interest that is outside of our borders, and we were very much happy to keep them there. Especially African swine fever, which has entered the region. Reports have been cited in Haiti and Hispaniola. So we want to keep that scourge of swine and hog out of our territory. Okay. Also of plant pests of interest, the Fusarium wilt, yellow lethal yellowing, red palm weevil, citrus canker, moco disease, tuta absoluta, and Mexican fly. Exportation. Just like importation, if anyone desirous of exporting any plant or animal originated materials, they need to make an application or to seek an export permit. What the export permit will seek to do is to present to meet the export requirements of the importing country that these commodities are going to be sent to. If that the goods that is desirous of being exported is prohibited into the country which is desirous to be sent to, we will deny that commodity export. Probably the person will have to resort to another means of getting it there, but we won't certify it. Exportation continued. Documents that are required for exportation includes, an import permit from the destined country, phytosanitary certificate, a treatment certificate, a health certificate, a certificate of wholesomeness, and CITES for items which are on the endangered list. Inspection. For casual imports, the Customs Department, as I said before, is our first line of defense. Hence, any item that is of plant or animal origin will be detained by the custom officer, and then the veterinary or the plant quarantine unit will be informed. And then we proceed and to carry out an inspection on the detained item. If those items are prohibited, we confiscate and we dispose of them. If they are allowed entry, once they satisfy the conditions, we sign off and then allow them entry. For commercial imports, there is an established inspectorate which conducts inspection on imported meat products, fruits, vegetables, and containerized and brick bulk. And these inspections are either on the wharf or the docks or the ports of entry or at the business premises. Surveillance and monitoring. We have an ongoing surveillance program on fruit flies and tuta absoluta monitoring. There is also an active surveillance and monitoring for Amblyomma variegatum, which is the tropical bone tick, and the varroa mite in bees. We do also receive bulletins, updates, and alerts from international and regional organizations on various outbreaks from organizations like the World Health Organization for Animals, also formerly the OIE, FAO, WHO, CAFSA, and so on. Um, included in this presentation is as part of our to enhance and bolster our surveillance and monitoring, we have recently established the National Diagnostic Facility, where animal health, plant health, feed testing, soil testing, and standards are combining into one building, but various compartmentalized labs. Where animal health, as far as animal health goes, there is a separate lab for hematology, parasitology, microbiology, and pathology. For plant health, Natasha, you can help me. I think there is a soil, there's entomology, I think there's a soil lab. Okay, so, right. And then also the Bureau of Standards also have the standard labs in there. So all the labs of necessity has been brought under one roof. So it's a one-stop shop. Public awareness. This is an ongoing activity year round. We have weekly television and radio programs. There's a special radio program called Agriculture on the Move, where everything agriculture is discussed. We have quarantine awareness month. And also we do have the Don't Pack a Pest campaign, which targets travelers to and from the country. Invasive species. Invasive species of notes, which have a negative impact on the country's biodiversity, is the presence of the green iguana on the island. And this is causing a major headache for us. Likewise, the sighting of the tufted capuchin monkey and the green monkey troops in the wild. So we have a couple of sightings of those monkeys in the wild. They have not really exploded in terms of their population, but there are moves to nip it at the bud before the population explodes. This is an illustration of the two species of iguana on the island, the invasive species and the indigenous species, very distinct. The adults are very distinct, but the juveniles are very similar. It will be difficult to distinguish the juveniles, but adulthood is very distinct. Fortunate for us, the location, the sightings and the location of the green invasive species is the southwest of the region of the island. And the indigenous species is concentrated in the northeast part of the island. And we have the mountain range right between down the center of the island, which more or less act as a barrier where to prevent those two species from meeting. So for now, we have it, the topography of the island keeps them separate. But if moves are not made to eradicate the invasive species, it's only a matter of time before the two populations meet. Back in 2008, thereabout, there were a four-year project which seeks to identify, hunt, and capture the invasive species, and then euthanize them to reduce the population. But the project, which was under the JGF program, came to an end and then at a standstill as we speak. There are also two invasive species of plants on Groupiton. This is on the World Heritage Site. And we have the Wandering Dew and the Calicia fragrans. Especially the Wandering Dew, it's a very aggressive plant and covers the ground very, very, very fast. Moves have been made to eradicate of the pitons, which had some measure of success, but it has not been very, very, very successful. There's not a total eradication achieved yet. And we all know what invasive species does to our biodiversity. Eventually, it will cause us to lose or reduce our biodiversity, causes imbalances in the local ecosystem. Some of them could become agricultural pests and the competitive indigenous species for food and habitat. This is what I present in a nutshell or a snapshot. Any questions? Okay, we're certain because the focal point for the invasive species were concentrated around the town of Soufre. That's not been cited anywhere else but around that particular geographic location. And the indigenous species, which is very rare, it is concentrated way to the north, to the northern, as I said before, northeastern corridor. And because of the geographic, the topography of the island, where there is a mountain range right down the middle, the notion is that the two population has not met.
We don't encourage eating because if you encourage eating of the green one,
yeah, we don't really
they will automatically start eating the indigenous one.
All the invasive species, people will have an acquired taste.
Yeah.
they will flip over into the indigenous species. So it's not something that we encourage.
So here's my question. You said that the indigenous species is very rare.
Yeah.
That you should just mention that you had an eradication program for the invasive one. Has there been any work to do any conservation, preservation, and building of the indigenous species population? Because I'm asking this not in the context of iguanas, but in the context of crab, which is our mountain chicken, right? Sometimes you find other species might end up being competing. You may focus on that invasive one unknowingly that something else, and not that species that you're dealing with, is a potential threat for the indigenous one.
Actually, it's a good question to ask because there's a move by the forestry department and the National Trust where to discourage persons from going into the area where the indigenous species are to harvest for firewood and become the dogs. And the dogs can actually attack those iguanas, which are of the indigenous species. So, there's move aside to help people to desist from going into those areas with dogs and destroy the habitat of those animals. It's a tough call, but that whole northeastern region is more or less a reserve. It's not an official reserve area, but It is isolated in terms of human activity. There are no communities at that area. Other things that happen on that area is there are sightings and leatherback turtle come to the beach to lay eggs. So what has happened is that the nearest community that to that area, there are some sort of heritage tourism activity going on there where those persons take tourists down to the beach to camp and look for sightings of the leatherback turtle where they come up from there. So the notion is to have the community own the resources. So if they own it and they can form a livelihood from the presence of those species, then they will more or less help the protection of those conversations.
I'm not sure, but did you mention the structure, of the invasive ones?
Yeah, what I mentioned is that there are moves to conserve, the conservational moves are to prevent persons from going in there and destroying the habitats and coming there with dogs. Oh, there was a project that was dedicated to eradication of the invasive species.
Why?
Because we do not want them to have that explosion of population where they will have a merger of the two. Eventually, if you meet them on check, the two species will meet.
Right.
And then interbreeding could happen and then there will be the loss of the endangered of the local species. Yeah.
But to come back to Dominic's question, the same project that was trying to eradicate invasive in Sambusha,
right,
also had a component in Jamaica to a native in Sambusha doesn't have an invasive species attacking it as far as I know. But the ones in the endemic iguanas in Jamaica did, pigs and feral dogs and mongoose and something else. And what the project did in St. Lucia in Jamaica, they just created artificial nesting sites. Basically, all iguanas just love sand.
Mm-hmm.
So you create this area with a little bit of sand and gravel or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they lay eggs in those areas. And those were protected, so they were enclosed so that the mongoose or pigs and dogs and whatever didn't get to that. And the numbers went up significantly. It didn't solve the issue in that the invasive species was still around, the pigs and the dogs and whatever else. But at least the idea is you give the species threatened a chance.
Right.
So
right.
You start augmenting the numbers and then you can start controlling
the invasive.
So the question is sustainability.
Right.
How do you do that in a sustainable basis going forward? Subsequent to the project, I know Jeff did fund another and the project in St. Lucia. I don't know what happened to that or what he was doing under that project for the endemic iguana. Yeah, but a subsequent project has a follow up. The Jeff did fund, I think, $1 million or $2 million project for the conservation of the endemic species. But your question is well taken. There are things that we can do to give a fighting chance to the threatened species.
Yeah.
I don't know about problems.
Well, the forestry department is working on the frogs project. And to be honest, I don't think that the region is doing enough for the frogs. Actually, that species of frog can be only found in Dominica and in Montserrat in the world. And if we don't do more, an entire species can disappear. These are the two islands in the world that this frog is found, being affected by a farmer.
So it's being affected in Montserrat as well?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I didn't know that there's about the Darwin Initiative and the looking for projects. So that sounds like one that we
can do. Yeah, Montserrat, and as a matter of fact, Dominica suffered a ban from Montserrat because of the perception that the fungus may have come in from Dominica on agricultural commodities and affected the frogs. So the frog population just went down. And I think more can be done. More can be done because that is one species that could disappear totally from the surface of the earth.
I mean, it's a very important, almost global issue. I mean, this fungal amphibian pathogen, which threatens a number of really rare frogs and other amphibians around the world, particularly the ones which are restricted to only very small areas. I think, particularly as well in Central America, Costa Rica, and so on, there are a lot of species which are under the same threat, and I'm not sure how far research has got at the moment to kind of do something actively in terms of the leading for resistance or anything, but that can really be done to address this in a sustainable way. Mm-hmm. But it is a very bad and severe problem. I would like to draw a little bit the conclusions of your talk, so a little bit towards, again, the best risk assessment side, and where they may as well perhaps be helping. And the one was perhaps a little bit more generic for all the participating countries. Are already any countries suffering from the introduction of tuta absoluta, or is that still kept out of the Caribbean for the moment?
We had a survey there is a problem, but nothing much was done. We just did the survey to know that it's there.
In
No. can you repeat us?
Okay. You sure it's tuta and not Kaifera? Please, go tell me it's tuta. No, but we need to discuss
okay,
it.
Okay, well, let me get the facts straight and I'll get back.
No, please, because it just made my hand just skip.
I just wanted to point out that for tuta absoluta, there are already a number of very detailed PRAs out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have as well done some other PRAs for tuta absoluta, for example, for Certolina, and I think as well for Anguilla, I believe we've done a PRA, still kind of not 100% completed, but a very comprehensive draft, still in a word template before really the Caribbean tool took off. But that is, for example, something we could share with you. So in case you want for your own country to create a PRA on tuta absoluta, really kind of to strengthen your defense against coming from it. So more than happy to circulate what we've done that for tuta absoluta. It shouldn't be too difficult for you to adjust one of the existing PRAs, which is closest mm-hmm. to your situation and to your own country.
You could have a go.
Are you talking from privileged information? Because I think Abby is in the book.
I from the CPSD level, we've been doing work. There is an emergency response plan that was recently done. The secretariat, the USDA through the secretariat have provided lures and traps for monitoring, etc. So there's quite a bit of work that has been done at a regional level. Based on a threat of its proximity from Central and South America, and also a suspicion in Haiti. Right? So work has been done, a number of training has been done, some collaboration has happened between the region and OIOSA on tuta absoluta. The surveys that we've been conducting on islands, on different islands, the reports we've been getting has been Kaifera, which is also a tomato leaf miner.
Yeah,
right? But it's also a micro Lepidoptera. But we've never gotten the confirmation of tuta in any of the surveys that we've done over the last 2 years. So that's why I was kind of surprised to hear that. And I'm still very surprised though, understanding the whole idea of pathways and vulnerabilities. I am surprised that Venezuela has tuta absoluta. And during all this turmoil and stuff, that people would be moving from Venezuela to Trinidad, and Trinidad still hasn't reported to the absolute. So I'm a bit surprised about that. But again, it sometimes is based on
the expertise that may exist within the region. It may also on the frequency of surveillance and reporting. So that's another vulnerability for PRAs and our press lists.
Absolutely. I've got a second question for you. And you were saying that slide about the two invasive weeds, the wandering Jew and the Calisia. Have you ever considered to control it with biological control agents?
Not to my knowledge. I remember that there's certain interactions with persons that work with the PMA, which is the Python Management Area. They had community meetings, and then the people, the persons that live within the community at the foot of the Python were going in there and manually extracting the plant from the area. As to biological,
because there may be, I'm not very familiar with these two species, but I'm not sure. So to what degree already other countries have made an effort to look into the potential of biological control and its feasibility. But for example, if some other countries have already done that and they have already identified some suitable control agents, the PIA format
right.
is well suited to do a risk assessment and a risk analysis for these individual biological control agents to assess whether any import or release for a biological control would be safe and they would expect any side effects. So that is another area where the PIA form is very well suited for. Are there any other questions? If not, then I would suggest to have perhaps just a 10-minute break for
thank
coffee.
You.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then reconvene, and we have a little bit later than scheduled, but I think that's not a problem. The good news is our pest risk analysis tool seems to be back online. So it must come to a short time when there was some issues with the server, and so hopefully we can go back to the schedule as planned and continue after the coffee break with doing jointly the risk assessment. Yeah, I think some snacks have arrived as well.